Start off tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4. So, Brother Todd, was that somebody's testimony? Or is that, I know you wrote it, but was that somebody's specific testimony that you know of? No. Okay. It's amazing how God sends more than one person after you because he loves you. And we don't deserve his grace to begin with, but he died for us. But he's still interested in us. I know most people do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ the first time they hear it. But as you pray for others, God will send people in their ways. And I know that the Lord's done that in my life before. Used me to help win someone to Christ that somebody else has been praying for. But also the other way around too, that God has also used someone else that I have been praying for too. So you never know how God's going to work. Andrew gave a testimony at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday how him and his other guy were having a debate about spiritual things. And as they were having a debate about spiritual things, someone else that he had been praying for was listening. And then after they got done having their debate, the guy had come up to him and talked to him about questions about the Bible and questions about the gospel. And it was wonderful. I don't think the person received Christ or didn't at that moment in time, but it's amazing how people just being faithful can cause other people can hear. I still remember that story about that preacher. I told it one Wednesday night that I got out there and he preached the gospel on the side of the road. Didn't see anybody, couldn't see anybody there, and he got out there and the Lord had told him, stop your car and go preach a gospel message. And the guy knew that's what he was supposed to do. He got out the car and started preaching and preached his heart out. And it's easy to preach when no one's around. You're not worried about offending anybody. You shouldn't worry about offending anybody when you're preaching anyway. But at the same time, he got out there, got in his car and left. He didn't know that the drunkard in the town was in the little ravine or the ditch that was down at the bottom of the hill. And he heard the gospel we preached, and he got saved and went and told the preacher the story. You know, we got to be faithful to what God asks us to do and tells us to do. We never know what's going to make a difference in someone's life. But if we're faithful, they're giving God a chance, the opportunity to make a difference. So talking to somebody one more time, well, I already talked to them 100 times. Let the Lord speak to the Lord's heart. Let the Lord speak to your heart and just be faithful. Give out that track. Well, that person doesn't want it. You know what? God can do some spectacular things to those who are faithful to him. So this evening's message is finding your place in your local church. Finding your place in your local church. And no, we're not talking about the seat that you sit in, because sometimes some people have permanently marked themselves in the seats and they don't want to get up. I know nobody really has that opinion here, but some people enjoy sitting in certain spots. That's not what we're talking about, finding your place. We're talking about service in the local church, the importance of it. You know, God has given us, think about it, God has given the church a great commission. And boy, it is a big project. He has told us to go into all the world. It says in Matthew chapter 8:28, verses 19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He has given the church a great big job to do. You think about it, that's right. So if there's a great big job, does that mean the more people that help with it, the more it's going to get accomplished, or the less people? Some people have this idea, and I don't think our church is like this, but some people have this idea that they don't have to do anything for the service of the Lord. People have different gifts. People have different talents. We're going to talk about this. This may even spill over into next week as we're looking about it. I know it's Father's Day. At the same time, the Lord's kind of laid in my heart about making sure we're not neglecting things that God's given us. And I want to talk about our church, talk about church ministry, that word neglect's not found too many times in the Bible, but it talks about not neglecting the gift. I believe Paul is speaking to Timothy, he says, don't neglect the gift that God's given you. And so God's given us all a gift, and he's given us a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not only preach the gospel, see people saved, see people baptized, teaching them all those things, the things that we have learned, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. That is a huge responsibility. It is huge. So it takes a lot of people working together to make it to all nations. So that's why we got missionaries. I understand that. I'm talking about us finding our place in our local church. God has entrusted the church with the gospel and the responsibility to take it to the world. It's going to take everyone being involved. Not only does it give us the responsibility as the gospel to reach in the Great Commission, we're called the pillar and the ground of the truth. Yeah, church is important. Sometimes people minimize it. Some people come for different reasons. But, you know, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. So many times we make church about us. This has got to be done my way, or this has got to be done that way. Or the heat and the air has got to be just right for me. And, you know, or it's not about us. He's given us something great to do. We're involved in something that's bigger than us. We're involved in helping the souls of men to see their need so they can be saved. As we talked about this morning, that rich man that was in hell was there, and he is going to be there for all of eternity. And he was asking just for a drop of water. He was just asking for someone to tell his five brothers. We've been delivered from that. We've been that brand that's been plucked out of the fire. And he wants us to be part of a local church. And then he wants us to go out and do something in this local church. He even calls the local church the pillar and ground the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." We are the guardian of the truth. Sometimes when there's a hard topic, I use this example. If they're not going to see it in church, where else are they going to learn about it? If they're not going to see a husband treating his wife with love, if they're not going to see that at church, where are they going to see it? If they're not going to see, sometimes when we talk about a topic like modesty, and sometimes people cringe a little bit about that word when we talk about, you know, wanting ladies dressed modest and, you know, having certain choir standards and other things like that. If they don't see it in church, they're not going to see it on the street. So this is the place. We have the truth. We are the guardian of the truth. We have the responsibility to send it out and tell people. Church is really important, but where do I fit in? You ever felt like you haven't fit in before? I know I remember telling you that story that one of our bus kids had passed away, and I went to his funeral service, me and a friend of mine, and we were up there. The church was packed. They took me and they poked me all the way up to the top row of the top balcony. I had one of the last seats that were there. It was an all-black church. And I was there. Me and my friend were the only white people in the church. I didn't really feel super comfortable, but hey, I was there. I was going to visit the family. The boy's father had died. And one of the ladies recognized me from the funeral home. And they said, "Hey, Pastor, you can't sit here." And I said, no, I know the boy, I know the father. I thought they were kicking me out because of my color. And he said, no, you missed the whole thing. You have to sit on the stage. You're a pastor. I said, "No, I ain't sitting on that stage." He says, "Either it's the stage or the front row, or they will be offended." I said, "Did somebody say that to you?" He said, "No, but that's what they say for that church specifically." So I said, "Well, if I need to, I'll sit up front." I said, "But I'm not going to sit on the stage," because I didn't know what they were going to do during the service, and I don't want to say, "Hey, that's something I agree with." But at the same time, so I went there, and I felt really out of place. Then the family comes in. There's not enough room for the family to sit, but, you know, I have to have a seat. You know, I felt really uncomfortable. And sometimes it's, where do you fit in there? And that wasn't my local church. I'm thankful for our local church. Sometimes people don't fit in. I've had people tell me, "I don't feel comfortable at the church. I don't see where I fit in, so I'm going to go find another church." And, you know, God brings people into churches for reasons and purposes. And it's not to just make ourselves feel comfortable. It's to do a work. So the church is for a great commission. It is something that is the guardian of the truth, but it's also been given a responsibility that we are supposed to mature and nurture and help others come to a spiritual maturity. That's part of our responsibility too. Somebody asked me yesterday, "What is God's vision? What do you think God's vision for you and this church is?" And there's two things. Number one, I like to reach Elizabeth City with the gospel. The reality is there's a lot of different things I'd like to see happen and do, but I'm going to let God take care of that and let God provide the workers for it. But we'd love to see an outreach to the local colleges that are here. We'd love to see inside the public schools, also trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. We'd love to see a lot of different things that are developed and different things, not only for adults and other, there's a lot of things that are there, but it's strengthening the brethren too. It's not just reaching out to people and winning people to Christ. There is a discipleship that's important. There's training more people. I mean, that's the point, is that we can teach others also, that we win someone to Christ, we disciple them, and we begin to train them so that way someday they can reproduce themselves, and that way someday they can reproduce themselves, and someone, you know, that's nurturing. That is, and that's what you see here in Ephesians chapter number 4. Look what it says in verse number 15. It says, and here speaking a little bit about the difference of the ministry gifts, and it says in verse number 15, but speaking truth in love may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ. The goal is that we as a group of believers, and especially individually, would grow up and become like Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's what we're headed towards. And the reality is that that's one of the responsibilities that's given there. So that you say, well, I think I should help at church. I think I should serve, but I should do what I want to do. I get God gives us certain gifts and certain abilities, but God also gives us people to help with that. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Look what it says in verses 11 and 12. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So why did he give those? It says it here in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I truly, honestly believe that the work that God has given us, he has given us gifts, but the responsibility that we have is for the whole ministry. It's not just for one. Some people think that whatever doesn't get done, the pastor's just got to do, which sometimes that's what happens. And thankfully, people don't have that type of attitude. And I'm thankful for all the people that come and serve. There's a number of people I'm talking to right now that help in a variety of ways, to have all the different ministries that we have, to do all the different things we do here. It takes people. It takes work. And some people, and I've had people say this, and the role the pastor's found in the Bible is scripturally given there. Sometimes you shy away from teaching and preaching it because it makes people think, oh, you just want to be in charge. You just want to be a leader. You just don't want to do anything. And I hope you don't feel that way about me. But that's what the scripture says right there, that they've given pastors and they've given evangelists and they've given teachers. They've given the church pastor and the leaders of the church for what? The perfecting of the saints. One of my main responsibilities is to help strengthen you through preaching and teaching, is to help get you to a spot where you can teach others also. Now, if you look at the next phrase, it says, for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, I believe, feels and deals with doing the day-to-day duties of that. But you think about what happened back in the first century church, that first church. What happened? There was a boom, right? There were so many people there that the widows were being neglected. And what was the responsibilities? What was the response? It's found in the book of Acts. It said, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually prayer and to ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So when the church was booming, they said, look, we don't mind doing that. We don't mind serving. We don't mind being a part of the things. But he says the thing we need to do right now is to give and help mature to these new believers. So we got to give ourselves over continually to praying, give ourselves continually over to studying. And that's why they says, hey, call those men out. And they're talking about the first deacons that were there, and that they were there to help as a support and to be a blessing to those that were leading the church. And obviously, they didn't do all the serving the tables. They could help organize those things. And I really, truly, honestly believe that a pastor's role is to be a first servant, but then, and also those that are on staff, but also the deacons, that's their responsibility. It's not their job to run the church. It's their job to be a help and a servant leader, just like the pastor is. That's what we all are. Sometimes churches get it flip-flopped and mixed up. And sometimes there's deacons that want to run the church. And sometimes there's a pastor and there's accountability that the pastor should have and things like that, to where he's can't just go and do whatever he thinks. If it's unscriptural, the pastor shouldn't be doing it. And if the pastor doesn't want to get things right scripturally, then he doesn't need to be pastor of the church anymore. But God has given the church leaders the job of equipping you to take part of the work of the ministry. The pastor's responsibility and the church leadership's responsibility is to help you grow so you can get involved in this great commission that's there, and so you can get involved in helping bring other people to Christ and discipling other people. That's his responsibility. Now, I love pretty much every part of my job. There's a few things I don't really like, but I love preaching. You know, some people think that this is the stressful part. No, when I get up here, this is the good part. There's nothing else I have to worry about. There's nothing else I have to focus on. I can't work on the sermon any longer. Preaching is maybe not the easiest part because it is spiritual warfare and it's a lot of work and you're exhausted afterwards. He said, you're just up there talking. But, you know, once you're there, but it's the reality is, what's the pastor there for? And these roles of the guardian of the truth means that he should have enough time to be able to do what he needs to spiritually too, and helping other people grow. Yeah, I love, and the reason I came to, I love visiting people. You're my church family. You're my family that's here. I love spending hours with you, just sitting there. Sometimes I go to someone's house, I'll spend 2 or 3 hours knowing that I need to get somewhere else, and they look at you and say, why are you leaving already? And I said, I've already been here for 2 or 3 hours. And I remember one time we started to watch a TV show. I didn't watch a TV show, but the TV show came on, and I made a comment about the TV show. And it was an hour. I told the guy I only had an hour that day. And he says, it hasn't been an hour yet. I said, look, the TV show already started over again, and it's halfway through. So it had been an hour and a half. And these are things I love. And it's they're investing ourselves in someone else to help them grow spiritually. But it's not just about friendship. It's about encouragement and helping somebody grow spiritually. And I need to be better at that. Like I said, the church has this great big job. And we talk on Wednesday nights about neglecting. We talk about neglecting the Great Commission. We talk about neglecting our relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't know what this upcoming Wednesday night, Brother Joe's going to be preaching. I'm going to be preaching that afternoon in the junior camp. And we usually ask him to preach at least once a month. And he's going to be preaching this Wednesday night. But I don't want to neglect the spiritual gifts that God's given our church. And things for us to do, and the pastor leads and helps point those out to people and helps encourage them, and it's my responsibility to help equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And if I went around the room and said, hey, what's your pastor's job? There could be a long list of different things that people think, hey, you should do this, and you should do this, and you should do this, and I truly, honestly don't mind doing any of those things. I love being there for people. But I gotta remember the main calling of feeding the flock and helping equip them and helping reach people for Jesus Christ. God has given church leaders the job of equipping you. You say, well, Pastor, you haven't helped me with that. Well, I need to work on my preaching then, because that's what the preaching does, but also it's personal interaction and helping disciple someone else. That's what our responsibility is when we feed into you. It's not that we're trying to be nosy. It's not that we're trying to change you. We want the Holy Spirit to change you. It's not when we're disappointed and we say something to you and when you get discouraged, we want to work through things. It's the fact that God's given us a responsibility to help equip, to take part of the work of the ministry, and to edify, to build up the body of Christ. It's by reproducing new believers. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, then the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou also to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The goal is that as we equip people with what to say, you will take that out and teach other people the things you have heard here, that you've heard in your Sunday school lessons, that you've heard from the Word of God. And I want to encourage you tonight, use those gifts that God's given you. Remember, there's a great commission. And even if, and I don't do this, I worked 24 hours a day, the hardest I could. You can even put Brother Joe there, and Brother Joe did the same thing. Never stopping, and that's not their description. How much are we going to be able to accomplish? Not as much as all of us could if we taught and equipped people on how to reach people, how to train people, how to teach people. I know lots of people look at certain things and say, that's the pastor's job to do. And there are certain things that are the pastor's job. But when it comes to perfecting the saints and equipping people so that way they can teach others also, when he was teaching that, he was writing that to 2 Timothy, and he was saying, look, that so that way you've heard these about me, that you can commit these faithful people or faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Part of God's plan is for the pastor and spiritual leaders to equip the local church to do the Great Commission by training others to duplicate themselves. And this is the point, is that we're here to try to help you so that way you can go help others. And so that way God's house will be full and God will get the honor and God will get the glory of it. It's not just the pastor's job to be a soul winner. It's not just the pastor's job to disciple and encourage. It is all of our God's. God has given us spiritual gifts that we're going to use, that we need to use. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, it talks a little bit about spiritual gifts. You say, what's a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is something that God provides to every child of God, at least one. These gifts are divine enablement given to us at salvation for the express purpose of serving God through the local church. He gives gifts out there. Now, there were sign gifts back in the Bible times. There were miraculous gifts, talking about tongues and visions and healings. All those things have passed. Can God do those things still? God can do whatever he wants. But when he says in his word, these things have ceased, guess what that means? These things have ceased. But here in the scriptures, what he's saying here, there are some gifts that are given. Let's jump here, Romans chapter number 12. And look, we'll even start off in verse number 3. We know what verses 1 and 2 says, talk about presenting your body as a living sacrifice, not being conformed to the world in verse number 2. And he says in verse number 3, if you're going to be a good church member, if you're going to be connected in, wanting to be part of the Great Commission, he's given you a gift. And here's some of the gifts that are given. He says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So what the scripture is saying here, be careful not to think too much of yourself. When we're part of a church family, we're part of a church body, don't think too highly of yourself. God has given you grace. He says here, the grace given unto me, also the measure of faith. He's talking about the gifts that are there and the things that God has given you. It's come from God. So if you have some type of gift or multiple gifts, and if you have one of the more recognizable ones, don't think too highly of yourself, because that gift wasn't yours and that gift can be taken away. In verse number 4, it continues, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, saying and talking about, and we'll use in the instance of the local church, there's many members, there's many people inside a local church. Not everyone has the same responsibilities, not everyone has the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Then he begins to talk about some of the gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Once again, they're according to the grace that he has given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on the ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then he continues on in some great verses, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. He begins giving descriptions of what that looks like as the gifts are playing out. So there are gifts there that God gives all of us. He doesn't give us that gift so we think so highly of ourselves, we make ourselves look good, and people give the glory to God. I mean, gives the glory to us instead of the glory to God. He gives us those gifts so we can be part of the Great Commission, so we can help equip others, so we can disciple others, so the church can move forward, so the work of God can be done. But how do I find my place? Find out what your gift is and use it. Look at some of these gifts that are mentioned here in verse number 6. Whether prophecy. Now, prophecy back in Bible times, it had a twofold reason. Foretelling meant that God would give sometimes prophets to be able to know what's going to happen in the future, and they would prophesy, this is going to happen 100 years, 200 years when Jesus was born. That was prophesied 100 years ahead of time. When Elijah said it was not going to rain for a certain period of time, that was something that was prophesying. And that's something that's called foretelling. Also, but if you go back in the Bible times, you look at it and you read it, most prophets spend most of their time foretelling. What is that? That's declaring God's word. Even the Old Testament, the prophet's main ministry was to preach the word of God and preach it in truth, the complete revelation of God. So that is a gift that sometimes people are given, is one of preaching and going out the word of God and giving out the word of God. Then you see the word ministry in verse number 7. This is a spiritual gift, also known as the gifts of helps. It is a desire to serve and help people in a variety of ways, often volunteering service in unglamorous and unappreciated jobs. Never underestimate the importance and the purpose that's behind those that work behind the scenes. This is an important spiritual gift. If you have a passion to serve behind the scenes, to be faithful and diligent, your service is very vital to any church and any place that you're at. It's finding out what your gift is and then using it. I see so many people have this gift, but only some that use it. They want to be behind the scenes, but they use it in other places, in other areas. And I don't think there's anything wrong with humanitarian efforts, but there's also a local church that is so valuable and so important that's trying to reach the world with Jesus Christ. We should focus on these ministries that are here. Teaching, you see that? And there, let us wait on our ministering. And he that teacheth, teaching is somebody that has the ability and desire to teach God's word and teach God's truth, to help people understand the word of God, to take time to go through a discipleship course and to break it down and to explain it. Teaching, also not only just teaching, you see exhortation. The one exhortation is talking about the ability and the desire, not just the ability, but the desire to encourage others in the Christian life. These Christians love to lift up other spirits with positive words and deeds, and they are specifically and especially concerned with other people's hearts. Exhorters are meant to motivate others to love and to serve God. So you shouldn't, if you have that ministry, if God's given you that gift, then guess what? We should use it. If God's given you that gift to teach, you should use it. So, Pastor, you're the reason why I don't teach, because you have standards for teachers. They have to come to every church service, and they have certain things. Hey, if God's put you in a church, and you're here, and you think that God's given you the gift to teach, guess what? He wants you to use it here. We have to learn to go under the standards of the church and say, okay, if that's what God wants me here, and this is what the church says, hey, I should be willing to do those things in order to help be a teacher. And it's because that's what we're trying to get the Great Commission done. Exhortation there, you know, the same thing, motivate people. He says, well, people don't like it when I encourage them. God doesn't say, hey, do it until they like it. He says, use your gift there. Someday they will maybe enjoy it. Keep on going. Not only that, he talks about verse number 7, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. He said, giving. He said, I definitely don't have that gift. Now, the giving can be of your time, but here it's talking about this is the ability and desire to give to God's work and to God's people. It's accompanied by the provision to give also. These Christians are generous by nature, and they love to give to God's work. Those with the gift of giving have great delight and without worrying about giving to meet the needs of others. You know what? There's somebody who just says, God's given this to my heart. And usually sometimes in a marriage, there's one person who loves to give and the other person who kind of holds it back. And if they balance one another. But there are people who love to give and love to be a blessing and encouragement. If that's what God's given you, then guess what? Use that gift. Sometimes God will funnel and work through a person like that to give more. And don't be worried about, oh, this person's given so much, I need. No, let the Lord lead you and guide you. We're not trying to guilt you or get you. We want you to use the gift that God's given you, because the work is great. The Great Commission is awesome. We're the guardians of the truth, and we are supposed to be doing something to equip others. We're supposed to make them where they can equip to do the work that God's called them to. And then you think about the next one. You can call it ruling. Verse number 8, he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Now, this idea of ruling is talking about administration. This is ability to lead and administrate part of God's work. It reveals itself through natural abilities to organize, think strategically, implement a plan, or coordinate teams of people. Christians with the gift have a God-given ability to manage and administrate, and they find great joy in doing that. It's those people that are super organized and they want to see everything just kind of lay out right. Some people have that gift. Some people have that ability. There are some people who hate discipline and hate the fact that everything's got to be planned out. And there's others who thrive at that. Then you think about mercy. Mercy with cheerfulness. This is the God-given ability to feel the pain of others and help them during the times of difficulties. Those with the gift of mercy are naturally good at empathizing with those that carry heavy burdens. And I've seen people like that. I've seen people who can walk into a hospital room, and I've been sitting there for an hour, and I'm trying to get them to talk, but I don't feel always super comfortable with what's going on in the hospital room. They'll walk in, and they'll show the mercy and the kindness that's there, and they're really good at what they do, and there's certain people that have those gifts. Now, find out what your gift is and use it. Next week, we're going to have out here some different surveys. I don't know if you've ever taken a spiritual gift test, either on Wednesday or Sunday. And we're going to show you those different things. If you take this test, it kind of gives you an idea of things that you're strong at. Also, we're going to have out here a questionnaire about different places that you would like to get involved in our church. As things are opening up, there's opportunities here. We're restarting certain things like ushering and greeters and other things that we need help with, and we want to see where people feel like, hey, this is God's gift he's given me. I'd like to use this talent. I'd like to use this ability, and that's what we want to do. Because why? Because the work is great, and it's the pastor's job to help equip people to do the work that God's called them to do, and God's given each of us a gift. Now, we need to find out what that gift is and use it, because it needs to be done for the work of the Lord. Because if the work isn't being done over here, then someone who's could be doing a different gift or doing something else, because what has to happen? They have to do that, and the work of God isn't being done as greatly as it could be. Another thing is, and I think next week we're going to wait and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's really a great passage of scripture, but we're going to skip that for right now, talking about different people, different responsibilities, things like that. But I do want you to also remember something. Remain committed to your church family. What do you mean? Be faithful to church? No. If you go through and you do a Bible study on the words one another, it's mind-blowing how it's applying to the scriptures. I believe that many of the teenage and some of the adult classes went through that one another series, and it talked about different things that we should do one another. You know what the Bible says about one another in the about one another in church? We should argue with one another. It doesn't say that. We should fight with one another. No. It's talking about your church family. It's talking about how we should treat one another. Listen to some of these. John 15:12. It talks about loving one another. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So the Bible is saying we're members one of another. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to be gracious toward one another. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. We're also supposed to be not only gracious, supposed to be like-minded. Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be giving preference one to another. If you look here in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10, it says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. You know, it's saying one another. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to be gracious to one another. We're supposed to be like-minded with one another. We're supposed to give preference to one another. You know, all those different things happen. But do you see that in a church very often? No, I do see it here. And I'm thankful for the Spirit here, but it doesn't happen all the time. Remember, there is a great work that's over here, and God's given us this gift, and he's given us a purpose. He's given us a reason that's greater than me, and it's greater than you. And that purpose is to reach people for Jesus Christ and to equip people to serve and to disciple people and help see people grow spiritually. This is the purpose of the church, and this is why he gives us gifts. And it says, look, now I want you to serve one another. I want you to love one another. I want you to show preference to one another. But what do we see? Hey, I got my rights. Nobody better sit where I'm sitting at. Nobody better do the wrong thing. No. What is our purpose here? Find our purpose in this local church. Find where he wants you to serve, and then do it with all your heart. We'll finish with this thought. We should resolve differences biblically also inside your local church. This is a big one. Because as much as we love the idea of people liking one another, there's people in church that really don't enjoy one another. I remember a church I grew up, there's people that sat on that side, people that sat on that side, they would never talk. That's sad. It's not the biblical way of doing things. We should resolve things biblically. And there's every relationship is important. If we can get the whole group involved in serving and reaching out to people, how much greater of a difference is it going to make than just a few? And if there's problems, if there's conflicts, it's going to happen. In a church that's filled with so many different people from different backgrounds with different thoughts and different opinions, the devil wants to get involved, and the devil wants to get you angry. The devil wants you to make you mad. The devil wants you to say, hey, that person, I can't stand that person. I can't work with that person. That's not what the devil wants. If there's someone that you cannot work together with to get the gospel out, then you should sit down and talk and have a conversation and say, hey, what's going on? Let's resolve this biblically. A couple of things I want you to think about, and we'll be done. You know, one thing we need to do is learn to forgive from our heart. There are some offenses that simply can be forgiven without even needing for discussion. If you can forgive a person without bringing it up, then guess what? Just leave it alone. That happens a lot to me. And I'm going to say, oh, look at me. You know, people say some things that are, just because they're uninformed, uneducated, or whatever, they say stupid things sometimes to a preacher. And most of the time, I just let it roll off my back. And, you know, they're not doing it on purpose sometimes. But if you can just forgive somebody, and the Bible talks about be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you, you don't have to bring up every little thing that somebody does. If somebody didn't shake your hand and it offended you, get over it. If you can't get over it, you know what you should do? You should go to that person and tell them you're disappointed. But more than likely, many of our things is if we can get over it, you don't have to bring it back up again. You've already forgiven them. And if it's something that's great, then the Lord can bring that to their mind. Next thing is, if you cannot forgive them without bringing it up, and sometimes that happens, sometimes God leaves it in our heart so we can approach the person because it's needed, it says go to the other person. Go to the other person. Most differences between Christians could be resolved by both parties just sitting down and talking. If one person loves the Lord and they're a believer, you know what? They should be able to sit down and talk to another person that loves the Lord and that's a believer. If they're headed the same direction, they should be able to sit down and have a conversation and say, hey, I'm part of this local church. You're part of this local church. We're reaching people for Jesus Christ. Go to the person. Talk to them. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. When it says go and talk to him alone. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go tell everybody else what I think's wrong. Can you believe this person did this and this person did that, this person did this? And then they had to find out from somebody else, you know, so-and-so is mad at you. As a pastor, sometimes that happens to me. We go out, we have visitation, we're starting visitation back up, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, and sometimes people go out to visit somebody. Oh, the preacher made me mad. I shouldn't have to hear that from somebody else, right? If I've done something that has upset you, please come talk to me. There's usually a reason for the reason why I do things. I try to be a logical thinking person, and I do things for reasons. Now, they might not always be right. There may be better ways to do it, but very rarely do I just do something just to do it and off the cuff. That's just not the way I think. That's not just the way that God has wired me. And I can usually explain to somebody, I could be wrong, happens all the time. It could possibly be done better, but there's usually a purpose for that. And you should not have to find out that, hey, the preacher's mad at you, and I went and then told somebody else, and they went and told you. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It says, go to the person and talk to them individually. Now, when that person there, it hurts when people talk bad about you. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. When you go around telling tales, and you don't always know the truth, too. Sometimes when someone has come back to me and says, this person's upset with you, and blah, 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 and it says, that's not how it happened. At least that's not how I remember it happened. And usually if you sit down and talk to somebody, say, well, Pastor, this takes too much work. That's too hard to do. I'm uneasy. They're uneasy. Maybe we should just forget about it. No. Remember, there is a local work that needs to be done. It's a local church. You're a guardian of the truth. The Great Commission is greater than us. It's greater than our feelings. We got a purpose here. We're supposed to equip one another. And we can't do that when there's bitterness in our heart. We can't do that when we sit there and we can't get along with somebody else. We're supposed to be striving together with one mind for one focus, for one purpose. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then if for some reason you can't work it out, share it with someone else that can be part of the solution. If for some reason it doesn't seem like there is any fix between the two of you, go to someone you can trust. Many times people talk about church leadership. If you want to go ask them for help, you know, take somebody with you. And this is what it's talking about in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 18, it talks about in verses 16 and 17, but if he will not hear thee, then take it with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word should be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man or a publican. You know, deal with it, but don't just let it sit there and simmer. Once again, if you can forgive it and forget it and never treat that person any differently, then just do it. That's okay. That's okay to do. But if you got to keep on bringing it up, if it keeps on something that hurts you, then you need to go to that person. Why is that? Because the work is so great. The work is so important. And you say, well, somebody else can do it. No, he's called all of us to do a work because it's such a big job. But could you imagine if everybody that was in this church this morning and every other independent Baptist church in the state of North Carolina said, I'm going to get connected. I'm going to get involved. You wonder how many people could be reached this week. How many tracts could be given out? How many things could happen as if we would learn to find our place in our local church? Not talking about your pew. Who cares where you sit? There's people lost and dying and it's going to hell. Like we talked about the rich man this morning. He would do anything to get out. And if he could get out, boy, he would be sprung free. He would say, whatever you tell me to do, God, I'm willing to do it. But we've been delivered. We've never had to spend a day in hell. We never will have to go to hell. I don't have to go there. I've been delivered from that. Shouldn't I be willing to do even more than those that were trapped and that are still trapped? Remember, when you correct somebody or when you try to work out on your relationship, you're trying to reconcile the relationship. In no way, shape, or form are you trying to say, hey, look at me, I'm better than you are. That's when he says, ye that are spiritual, go to them. So remember, the work is greater. It's not about me. It's not about my way. It's not about this, not about that. This is why I think their attitudes have what's driven many people out the church. And we need to have a godly attitude that works together, that has a great part. And next Sunday night, we'll look at in that 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, where there are people who don't think that somebody else is important. It's sort of like when the hand tells the foot, hey, you're not important. You get out of here. Where does that say that in the church? God is the one who's added to the church according to his plan, according to his purpose. He's given us gifts according to his plan and his purpose. Let's find out what those gifts are. Let's be a part and let's move forward. But so often, we shy away. And we would never say, hey, that's the pastor's job. We would never say, hey, that's the deacon's job or that's the Sunday school. And there are certain jobs that there's responsibilities. But it's not their job to use your gift. And when we don't use our gift, then someone else has to try to pick up that portion. And they're never, ever going to be able to do it as well as you could. Because God designed you to do it. You're part of something great. Part of something bigger than me, bigger than you, bigger than anyone. The cause of Jesus Christ, for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can make a difference. Don't think that I'm not important. Don't think that you're not important. Don't think so highly of yourself that, hey, I don't have to do what God says. Give it over to him. Finding your place in your local church. Don't neglect the gift that God's given you. Yeah, I think he even uses the word stir up that gift. Stir it up. Use it. He gave it to you for a reason, and not to make you look good, but to make him look good. Let's pray.